Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about the New Ulm Yellow Ribbon Network, talk to the Fort Snelling Memorial Rifle Squad.
I think that I've seen everything and then something new pops up. And in the funeral entourage comes this pickup truck. And there was people sitting in the back of it, and they were beating on their drums.
And visit with the Minnesota Patriot Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
2011 marks a decade of war for our state and nation. As I complete my first full year as Minnesota's Adjutant General, I can assure you that you can be proud of the citizen soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard. Since 9/11, more than 25,000 from our formation have answered the call to serve in harm's way. In fact, the greatest single number of deployed forces, nearly 3,100 guardsmen and women, were on federal duty at once in 2011, the largest number performing military missions outside of Minnesota at one time in the last decade. 2011 was the 150th anniversary of the 1st Minnesota Volunteer Infantry's entry into the Civil War. On that anniversary, we saw 2,700 soldiers from the 1st Brigade Combat Team, the direct unit descendants of the 1st Minnesota, muster at Fort Snelling to begin their important mission in support of Operation New Dawn. Speaking of Operation New Dawn, the war in Iraq ended on December 15th, with all forces withdrawn by December 18th. Since 2003, more than 8,000 Minnesota Army and Air National Guard personnel have served in Iraq, and they can hold their heads high knowing that all U.S. forces left Iraq with success and honor. Our citizen soldiers and airmen also performed admirably in Afghanistan throughout 2011, undertaking such important missions as training the Afghan Army and police, flying medical evacuations, partnering with our Croatian allies, and deploying Minnesota's first agribusiness development team to assist Afghan farmers in building a sustainable future. In addition to our federal missions, our citizen soldiers and airmen responded to assist local authorities in the Red River Valley flooding, North Minneapolis tornado, northern Minnesota wildfires, as well as out-of-state domestic assistance in Minot, North Dakota, and Pierre, South Dakota. As we move into 2012, the Minnesota National Guard is preparing to reintegrate our returning soldiers and ensure that our Yellow Ribbon networks are strong. We are placing a special emphasis on linking returning service members with employers. I am confident that 2012 will bring advancement in the readiness of soldiers and airmen in both our federal and state missions. Our units will continue to be disciplined, properly trained, and well-led, and that our service members and their families are assured that the leaders of the Minnesota National Guard care for their well-being and are prepared to assist them. On behalf of the nearly 14,000 men and women in the Minnesota National Guard, I wish a Happy New Year to all service members, veterans, families, and those that support our troops.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining us now is Bert Marth, a veteran of the United States Air Force, and today she's one of New Ulm's greatest advocates for veterans and military families. Ms. Marth, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you. My pleasure.
I understand that you started your military career in the United States Air Force.
Yes, I did, back in 1953. I served 3 years in the Air Force, and then I got out and raised a family, and in 1974, I joined the Army Guard in St. James, and went to work shortly after that, first in a recruiting capacity, and then in May of 75, I went to work full-time as a technician in New Ulm.
And ma'am, how long were you in the Guard?
20 years.
My goodness, you had an Air Force career and then a break to raise family and then 20 more years in the Guard. That's quite a service to the country.
Really interesting career.
Sounds like you enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yes, I did. I met a lot of great people and a lot of young people that it's kind of hard to run into some of these guys now who are retiring from the Guard, and I recruited them and enlisted them. A lot of my retirees are walking around now.
And I hope they're happy with you for recruiting them.
Oh, I think so. I do have a couple that I was very instrumental in who are some of our top people in the Minnesota Guard. One is General Bertrand. I enlisted him. And also Colonel Bill Hose, who are both very active in the Minnesota Guard. I knew them when they were privates.
Well, you did a pretty good job if you had a couple of them retire, one as a colonel and one as a general.
Oh, well, they're still going, both of them.
So, and I understand you also have been active with the New Ulm American Legion Post?
Yes, I'm a past commander. I was the first female commander back in 1980-81. I was commander of the New Ulm Post. I'm still active in the post. I have been Americanism chairman for a number of years.
And
one of my favorite programs on the Legion side is Legion Boys State.
And you were very active with Legion Baseball.
Yes, I am. In fact, I'm going to be inducted into the Post 132 Legion Baseball Hall of Fame on Saturday.
So you've got a big weekend this weekend.
Yes, I do.
Ma'am, we're talking to Bert Marth. She's one of the New Ulm's greatest advocates for veterans and military families on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Ma'am, I understand that you've been very active in the New Ulm Yellow Ribbon Program. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I'm the secretary for the Citizens Committee for headquarters and headquarters battery here in New Ulm. And when we first started talking about forming the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, first we were going to do the New Ulm Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and I kind of told the guys, the people that were on the committee, I said, you know, an awful lot of the addresses are like Sleepy Eye and Springfield and, you know, other parts of Brown County. So that's why we went with Brown County rather than the city of New Ulm.
And what kind of things do you do as a Yellow Ribbon Network?
Mm-hmm. We were one of the first counties in southern Minnesota to become active with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon.
And can you tell us a couple of the things that you do as a Yellow Ribbon community?
Well, basically, we try to keep a handle on the families that are back home here with deployed soldiers. I've had the privilege of having lunch with a couple of the young people who have been home on leave during the last couple months, and I've had a chance to talk to them. But, well, one of the things we did as a fundraiser that worked out pretty well, we had a beer tasting at the Armory here in New Ulm, and many, many different suppliers from the area, including Shell's Brewery, which is local, participated in it. We raised a lot of funds for that, through that program. Basically, though, we just try to keep track of and publicize the fact that we're here if you need us.
You've had
a very active committee for the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon.
You've had a very, very...
Pardon me?
You've had a very busy life. Air Force, National Guard, Yellow Ribbon Community, American Legion, Legion Baseball. You've been staying busy, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Have any final thoughts for us about the New Ulm Yellow Ribbon community?
Just the fact that we're there for you, and by you I mean the families of our people who are deployed, not only those National Guardsmen that, but also the active military. I have an active military person in my family. One of my grandsons is a career Marine who happens to be home right now on leave, but He started his 18th year on the 27th and is a pilot. He flies the Osprey. So, in fact, we've had some pretty good publicity about him lately. All I can say is we're here for our veterans' families and try to help them any way we can.
Ms. Mart,
maybe it's just a conversation sometimes that they need.
Ms. Mart, thank you for your service, and thank you for joining us today on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you for calling.
That was Bert Marth, an advocate for the veterans and military families from the New Ulm Yellow Ribbon Network. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. We'll be right back with the Fort Snelling Memorial Rifle Squad.
Hello, this is Staff Sergeant Jesse Holland, stationed at Fob Gambari in Afghanistan. I just want to say happy holidays to my wife Maria, my kids Vincent, Dominic, and Jamie in Rosemount, Minnesota. Love you. See you soon.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll be talking to one of the founders of the Fort Snelling Memorial Rifle Squad, who, after giving funeral honors to more than 56,000 veterans, may be losing their rifles. But first, let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase and discuss how the Woodbury community helped bring Christmas to the agribusiness development team deployed in Afghanistan. Ellen Alness started it all when she decided to sew a couple dozen Christmas stockings for her father's unit. She got the idea after thinking hard about what she could do for her deployed dad. Ellen's mother, Lori, contacted the unit, who requested that they provide enough stockings for the entire unit, 60 altogether. Lori then helped her daughter sew the 60 fleece stockings and sent out a press release asking the community to help with supplies to stuff them with. A local business set up a donation box, and supplies came pouring in. Lori said because the stockings were made of fleece, they were able to stuff them really full. More than 3 weeks ago, the stockings, three to a box, were shipped overseas. The postage was covered, and loads of goodies were sent along with 85 pounds of coffee, two boxes of soap, and one box of shaving cream, all in time to reach the Minnesota unit before Christmas. To celebrate the winter holiday, the ag team had all 60 stockings nailed to a wall. Each team member was able to claim their present and celebrate, making Christmas away from home a little more bearable. Thank you, Ellen and Lori Alness, and the Woodbury community for spreading some holiday cheer to our service members overseas and going beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness, connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. To learn how you can get involved and support service members, visit us at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, united to bring service members all the way home. Joining us now is George Weiss, a charter member of the Memorial Rifle Squad at Fort Snelling. George, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you.
George, I understand you were in the military, in the Marine Corps?
Yes, sir.
And what did you do in the Marine Corps, George? How long ago was that?
From 1945 to 1947, I spent a little time in China, basically 14 months. And when I got discharged in 47, I started to work.
Started to work. And, George, you're a founding member of the Fort Snelling National Cemetery Memorial Rifle Squad. Can you tell us how that came to be?
Back in, I'll say 35 years ago, a very dear friend of mine passed away. He had been a fighter pilot out of the Mendota VFW post with the 8th Air Force in England. He was credited with shooting down two German Messerschmitts, is what I was told. And I believe him. After all, he was Air Force. And when he passed away, his family asked me if I could get a color guard, an honor guard, whatever, to pay due respects. Well, I did. And it left a lot to be desired. And I had made up my mind at that time, if I ever had the possibility or the opportunity, that I would start something like that. In 1978, I retired from the Ford Motor Company after 30 years of service. And I'd already got the idea from different veterans organizations that the idea of starting a rifle squad at Fort Snelling National Cemetery was not a bad idea.
Now, George, before that, did they have any rifle squads out there?
They stopped that. Congress put a stop to that in the 50s, is what I've been told. And they've been going along without it up until June the 19th of 1979.
So the veterans that were buried during that period didn't have those memorial honors.
That's right.
Okay, and then keep going.
Well,
tell me how you
started. Six of us started.
Okay.
One Air Force, two Army, two Navy, and one Marine. And I made up my mind with the help of a lot of people, a heck of a lot of people. It got started. We started our first funeral, like I said, on the 19th of June, 79. And by October, we had all 5 days full with a squad for each day of the week.
So you had a separate squad for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
We built it up, yes, one at a time without interfering with the first squad.
And where did you have uniforms? Did you have rifles? How did this all come about?
The uniforms, we started with just ourselves, a black pair of trousers and a white shirt. And I was invited to attend the Military Order of the Purple Heart meeting, and I took a great honor in that. And I told them what my proposition was, what I was trying to do. They told me to wait downstairs, and lo and behold, they come down a few minutes later and handed me a check for $3,000. Now, in 1979, that was a lot of money. And with that, we bought raincoats and then different parts of the uniform. The Military Order of the Purple Heart guaranteed me that they would outfit every new man we got, which made recruiting a lot easier. Trousers, shirts, jackets, the accoutrements that go on it. And that was it. For over 20 years, the Military Order of the Purple Heart outfitted every single person we got.
We're speaking with George Weiss, the charter member of the Memorial Rifle Squad at Fort Snelling, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Now, George, you said you started with the six guys,
mm-hmm.
and within that first year, how many people did you recruit, and what were you up to on those five squads?
It's hard to put a finger right on one number, but we had at least 12, 14, 15 people per unit per day. And now we have at least 20, 25 people per day. We maintain a roster right now of approximately 130 people spread over a five-day period.
And how many people are there each day then out of those 130?
Well, each man, when I recruit people, I tell them, pick out a day that's convenient because we expect you there at least 50 times a year. We'll give you 2 weeks off for vacation. If you pick a day, you like the people that are on it, ride the bus with them, get to know them a little, that's it. We expect you there at least once a week. And it's worked out pretty good.
So you have seven men firing rifles.
Seven men firing rifles. We have a color guard that can go up to nine people with the chrome rifles and the service banner and the American flag, etc. On Friday, I have two buglers, and then we have people up front folding and presenting the flag, and we have a couple people directing traffic.
When you started this in 1979, how many funerals were you attending each day?
At that time, the first day that we had on the 19th was just three funerals, but we handled it. The average for Friday right now, and I'm separating Friday from the rest because it's the busiest day, we do approximately 30% of the funerals. And I won't be surprised tomorrow when I go out to the cemetery that there will be 15 funerals to do in a 4.5 hour period.
Now, these volunteers that are part of the Fort Snelling Memorial Firing Squad.
Rifle Squad, excuse me.
They come, do they have to be military? Or they, where do you draw from? Who are your volunteers?
One of our regulations that we have is that a person must have an honorable discharge and present that honorable discharge to the squad leader of the day that he picks before he can become a member of the Memorial Rifle Squad.
And if our listeners are honorably discharged military, who do they contact if they want to join?
The easiest thing to do is just contact the cemetery, and the best way to handle it is if you pick out a day, like I said before, come on out. We'll get to talk to you, get to see what's going on, what's expected of you, and what you can expect from us.
George, we have to take a short break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk more about the Fort Snelling Memorial Rifle Squad on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us.
Hi, it's Corporal Jason Austin with Crazy Troop, 1st of the 9-4 Cav, coming from Camp Buring, Kuwait. Just wanted to say a shout-out to my wife, Lisa, my parents, the Huli Clan, the Stages, the Builderbacks, all my friends and family back home. Wish you happy holidays. Love you all. Miss you all. See you soon.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're visiting with George Weiss, a charter member of the Fort Snelling Memorial Rifle Squad. But before we get back with George, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelido.
I would like to take a minute to thank the various veteran service organizations, legislators, and many others for all the continued support in 2011. Overall, the department was successful in accomplishing important and critical tasks in 2011. I am confident that 2012 will be just as successful. Together, we have worked to better the lives of veterans and their families. I am proud of the work we have done, but there is still a great deal of work to accomplish in serving Minnesota veterans, and I am confident the department is up to the challenge. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is proud to assist our nation's heroes, and on behalf of the department, I thank you for your continued support.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelido. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Now we're back with George Weiss, the charter member of the Fort Snelling Memorial Rifle Squad. And George, you've been telling us a little bit about you formed this in 1979. You're a charter member. You have five daily squads, and you're part of the Friday squad. And each squad has 25 to 30 volunteers, and it sounds like about 10 to 15 show up each day. And when you first started out, I think you said the first day you had three funerals. Since then, you've done almost 60,000 funerals, and you must have quite a few each day now.
We're averaging anywhere from 45 to 50 funerals a week, and it keeps all the squads busy. It just happens that Friday is a little bit busier than the rest. No. We don't really know why.
On your Friday squad, when you're out there on Friday, what time do you arrive? And I suppose you go home at different times whenever you're done.
We arrive and we're ready to go at 9:45. That's when we leave our squad room and go out and wait for the first funeral. We're on track and we're on position when the hearse comes in with the family. We're there.
And you go to these funerals in a bus that I understand that you secured the funding for from some veteran service organizations.
From the Minnesota veterans contributed in excess of $50,000 2 years ago for the bus that we have now, which in turn was turned over to the government for the use at National Cemetery.
And so they put the gas in it and so that you can drive to the appropriate site each day.
The only cost to the federal government that the rifle squad gets is the ammunition for the rifles and the gasoline for the bus. But then the bus belongs to them. And we get a bag lunch from the VA hospital for our volunteer services.
And George, I understand that since June 10th, 1979, you've never missed a day because of weather. If the cemetery's open, the rifle squad is there. And you were telling me earlier about a particularly cold day. What was that story?
Well, there was a young man came up to our bus, and you must understand that we're there because we want to be there. And we're not necessarily politically correct. All of us are close to 75 and over. And this person come up and said that his editor had told him to go out and find someone that was working outside in that cold weather. It happened to be 32 below zero. But one of those strange Minnesota days, the sky was just as blue as could be. The snow was just as reflective as could be. And standing there waiting for the casket to be taken out of the hearse and put on a catafalque, it was warm. The sun beating down on our black uniforms, no wind at all. When we looked around for this fellow that was asking too damn many questions, you know, what's this, what's that, and the other thing, and we told him it was just the Friday squad. We're doing our job, and that was it. We never seen anything in the paper. Of course, he took off early. He must have got cold.
Got cold and went home.
Yeah.
George, you've told me the squad members are expected to be on duty at least 45 days per year, and that they're all volunteers, not reimbursed for any personal expenses of any kind, and the rifle squad funeral ceremonies are free to the veterans' families.
That's correct.
Now, you were also telling me earlier that sometimes you don't know what to expect, and there was a story about one day where you were a little surprised you were burying a service member who was an American Indian.
Well, no disrespect. Mm-hmm. We don't show disrespect out there. It was just one of these days where I think that I've seen everything and then something new pops up. And in the funeral entourage comes this pickup truck. And there was people sitting in the back of it, and they were beating on their drums. And no problem. We're standing there. We're at attention. The flag had somehow drifted off the casket, and they had just balled it up, handed it to my assistant. And as he carried the casket in, we came to present arms. Then my assistant and I, we spread the flag on the casket. Went out, we done our firing, played taps, and come in to present the flag to the next of kin. And he turned out to be quite short, quite old. And it was just to the extent that I'm looking at him, and sitting alongside of him was just the opposite. This person had to go 250, 300 pounds. I'm going to say to call him ugly would probably be a compliment. He had so many battle scars that I never want to meet him in the dark alley. Of course, then I thought a dark alley would be nice because if I seen him, I wouldn't have been there. And as I'm presenting the flag to the next of kin, this little fella stood up and he buried his elbow in the ribs of this gigantic person next to him. And he stood up, and as I'm presenting the flag, looking at these two, both of them are crying. And I thought to myself, as big and as battle-scarred as he was, he still had a heart. Just one of the different things.
And what'd you learn from that experience, George?
Different people have different feelings. And there's always, the cover does not say what the book is.
And the honor and the respect that you deliver to these people in their funerals is universal, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
And it makes it feel it's worthwhile then, isn't it?
I've never walked away from the National Cemetery on a Friday afternoon feeling that I hadn't done some good. And every one of us out there, all 130, feel the same way.
And, George, once again, if the listeners want to come out and think about joining your memorial squad, What's the best thing for them to do?
Well, you can call the National Cemetery.
Or they can come out.
Or they can come out and pick out a day that you're really interested in. Get on the bus, introduce yourself as to what you want to do, ride around, and see if these are the type of people you'd like to associate with.
Then you've got some room for some younger members, don't you?
We always have room for younger members. I just turned 83, all right? And when we started, I was the youngest one.
And you're not ready to retire, are you?
No, I'm not.
George, we have to take a short break, but we'll be back with more, and we want to find out what the U.S. Army is trying to do to your rifles. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. We'll be right back with George Weiss from the Fort Snelling Memorial Rifle Squad.
Hi, I'm Technical Sergeant Sandy Anderson from the 934th Minneapolis Airlift Wing. I am currently deployed in Southwest Asia. I like to say happy holidays to my kids and to my boyfriend from Lakeville, Minnesota, my mom and dad from Rosemont, Minnesota, and the rest of my family in Minnesota. I love you, I miss you, and I'll be home soon. Mwah.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're speaking with George Weiss, a charter member of the Fort Snelling Memorial Rifle Squad. And George, this is our last segment. We've just got a few minutes. I understand the Army is trying to take away your 35 rifles. And I understand there's 7 per day in each of the Friday squad, the Monday squad. They've each got their own. What's going on with the Army?
Personally, I'd like to know what's going on with the Army. I was instrumental back in 1980 and 81 to secure these rifles. At the time, the rifles were either either transferred or donated to the Veterans Administration at the National Cemetery at Fort Snelling. That was the last I had to do with the rifles, other than buying parts to keep them working. 32 years later, they come back with the statement that they want our rifles back and they're going to give us M1 Grands to do the job we're doing. And having carried an M1 Grand, it's not the type of rifle we can use. There is nothing wrong with the rifles we have. They're working perfectly. The Army won't give us a reason as to why they want them back, just that they want them back. If we don't give them back to us, they don't even know the serial numbers of the rifles we have. But if we don't give them back, they're cutting off our ammunition. And as I said earlier, there's only three things that the government costs for the Memorial Rifle Squad. That's gasoline for our bus, a lunch from the VA hospital, and ammunition for our rifles.
And George, you've got five squads, each daily squad, and each squad has seven rifles.
Yes.
So they want to take back those 35, and how many do they want to give you?
They want to give us 15. Don't know why they want to give us 15. It doesn't compute. They made a statement that they'll only give us ammunition for 15 rifles. As I said, tomorrow it won't surprise me at all if we have 14 funerals. Now, if we were under the Army, how are you going to equate 15 rounds of ammunition, ammunition for those 15 rifles? We use 7, we don't use 8 or 15. I don't know what they have in mind, other than the threat that if we don't give them all back, the rifles that we have taken from, been donated to us from different veterans organizations, for parts, and that's what we keep them for. We have basically about 52, 53 rifles total. But those other ones above the 35, two of them are chrome for the color guard, and the rest of them are for parts.
So I understand Congressman Klein's office is working with you, and they're looking into this and trying to prevent this from happening.
Congressman Klein is a dear friend, and he's seen fit that he wrote the Secretary of the Army a letter requesting that there be an exception made in effect for the Memorial Rifle Squad at Fort Snelling. Nobody in this country has done what we have done. 59,600 funerals we have done to date. And out of that, it hasn't cost the government that much money to do it. We need the rifles, and Congressman Klein has been with us. He knows the way we operate. And hopefully, he will be able to get the government, the Army, I better not say the government, the Army, to see their way clear of, we're not a fly-by-night organization. We take our job very, very seriously.
George, we hope that you'll be able to keep those rifles. We're almost out of time, but I understand you were invited to the White House and honored by President Obama with a medal. Can you tell us about that quickly?
Came as a surprise. I got a phone call from somebody saying that they were from the White House. And I said, yeah, there's a White House right down the block from me. Then they sent me a letter requesting a FBI background check with information that if I'm accepted, I'd be be escorted to Washington and get the medal from the president himself. The day I got the medal on August the 10th of 2010 was 13 of us, 10 women, 3 guys, and myself. And when I got the medal, I saluted the president. There is no more than 100 of those medals out today. And I'm very,
George,
I'm overcome.
You've earned it over many, many years on the Fort Snelling Memorial Rifle Squad. George, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was George Weiss, charter member of the Memorial Rifle Squad at Fort Snelling. And now, from the flag line, we welcome to the show Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Doug, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you, Tom, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I understand you've been involved or interested in wreaths across America.
Yeah, Tom, this is actually, I believe it's our fourth year being involved with it, and our presence across the state of Minnesota is growing. We had a very strong contingent of people at Fort Snelling National Cemetery on December 10th, you know, the day of the Race Across America, the Day of Remembrance. We had a strong contingent of people in Rochester and also at the State Vet Cemetery up in Little Falls by Camp Ripley. And, you know, it's really just it's a quiet day. You know, it's cold. It's snow on the ground on those particular days. And they do the ceremony around the main entrance at Fort Snelling National Cemetery. And, you know, the different groups of people that they're representing, they lay a wreath at each branch's flag in the main entrance. But for me, the special part of the day is the Minnesota Patriot Guard's involvement, is we make sure a wreath is laid at all the KIAs for the Global War on Terror, including Tom Burnett, who's buried at Fort Snelling National Cemetery. And, you know, for me, it was an opportunity this year. I went and I took care and made sure that Nick Turcotte and Jim Wasika and Brian McDonough had their flags, and I met Jim and Kathy Wasika there as they were taking a Christmas tree out to their son's headstone, and just nice people, and just an opportunity to quietly remember, and you know, in the winter's breeze, so to speak, you know, what the sacrifice they've all made. But just a really fun day across the state of Minnesota. I think if people don't know, it was actually started a few years ago. The Worcester Wreath Company in Maine began donating wreaths to the Arlington National Cemetery. And it's really become a PGR national mission. We have motorcycles escort the trucks all the way from Maine down to Arlington. And Jill Stevenson this year rode along in one of the semi-trucks from Maine all the way down. Jill is a Gold Star mother. Her son, Ben Kopp, was killed in Afghanistan. So she was actually part of the convoy going down to Arlington. So some neat pictures coming back and forth from her, too.
Doug, I'll be looking forward to your annual report. I'm sure 2011 was another big year, but I know you're also working already on your annual Patriot Guard ride.
We are. June 16th is always the third Saturday in June. We're getting preparations put forward for our ride to kick off. And, you know, this last year, even though we had rain for most of the day, we had close to 3,000 people on that motorcycle ride, Tom. And, you know, it's open to anybody in the public. You do have to have a motorcycle on this one. But the website for that is called thepatriotride.org. And our strong partners at Dennis Kirk are the primary host, and you know, we're gathering more sponsors coming in for it. And half of the money we raise goes to the Minnesotans Military Appreciation Fund, and then the other half comes to the Minnesota Patriot Guard. And it's our one fundraising event a year that really helps us kind of play out all the donations for the year. You know, we're probably going to end up this year, Tom, pretty close to last year, about just under $100,000 that we raised and donated both on operating expenses and then to other groups such as the Minnesotans Military Family Foundation. And, you know, it's a real proud event for us to be part of that and to begin to plan next year for it. You know, I can never say enough how proud I am of our members, Tom, and, you know, the missions they stand for. And every day we've got, you know, listening to George talk about, you know, the Fort Snelling National Cemetery team, and, you know, most of our missions down there, we have 20 to 30 people every day showing up down there, and just proud as anybody could be.
It all comes down to those three words again: honor, dignity, respect.
Boy, that's, but you said a mouthful on those three words, Tom, and I appreciate you're always remembering them as well. It's real important to us.
Just a few seconds left, Doug. Who's eligible and where do they find information?
Anyone who's carrying a 3x5 United States flag is eligible to join. www.mnpatriotguard.org. Don't have to be a veteran, don't have to be a motorcycle, and we'd love to see everybody standing in a flag line with us.
Doug, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Tom, and Happy New Year to all of our friends, and particularly to the Red Bulls in Kuwait.
And Happy New Year to all the Patriot Guard riders. That was Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week: Bert Matthey, New Ulm Yellow Ribbon Network; George Weiss from the Fort Snelling Memorial Rifle Squad; Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard; Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs; and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about where serving our troops are going next. Meet one of Minnesota's most distinguished veterans. Join us to find out just who that might be next Sunday morning at 7, right here at Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.